see if you can spot this one. That's what Eric Clapton said before launching into an almost unrecognisable rendition of Layla as a part of his MTV Unplugged set in 1992. But what led him to rework the song? And how did MTV Unplugged come to be? Hey there, my name's Britt Allen, and this is The Chain, a podcast that links different songs together. Last episode, we looked at how uncredited songwriters connected Georgia On My Mind by Ray Charles to the Derek and the Dominoes classic Layla. As I just mentioned, Layla was one of the songs performed by Eric Clapton for MTV Unplugged in the early 90s. Clapton had seen a few episodes of the series before he was invited to take part, and the one that stood out to him was with Daryl Hall and John Oates. They'd performed a cover of the Beatles' Don't Let Me Down, and Clapton was impressed with their reinterpretation of the tune. He took Unplugged as an opportunity to rework some of his own music, inviting Andy Fairweather Lowe round to his house in Chelsea for a week before the recording to dissect several songs and put them back together. Early on, Clapton suggested that they create a new version of Layla, wanting to give it a new life outside of the Derek and the Dominoes version. For this, he took inspiration from Bob Dylan.
I've done it the same all these years and never ever considered trying to revamp it. And a lot of artists do that, you know. Bob Dylan, for instance, changes everything every time he plays it. And I thought this was another great opportunity to just take it off on a different path and to put it to a shuffle. And for a start, making it acoustic. It denied all the riffs, really. They would have sounded a bit weak, I think, on the acoustics. So it just seemed to become jazzier somehow. And of course, I'm singing it a whole octave down. So it gives it a nice kind of atmosphere.
That's Eric Clapton for MTV Unplugged on the official Eric Clapton YouTube channel. The performance took place in front of a small audience at the Bray Film Studios in Windsor on January 16th, 1992. Clapton wasn't too impressed with the recording and didn't think it should be released as an album.
I didn't really want it to be a record, to be honest. We had a bet on that. My manager, Roger, at the time, and I had a bet of $100 that it wouldn't sell. I mean, anything. And he won the bet, you know. And that, for a while, that $100 bill was sort of framed in one of the executive offices of Warner Brothers, you know.
That's Clapton on For One Night Only on BBC Sounds in 2012. But not only did people buy the album, it went on to become the best-selling live album of all time and the best-selling album of Clapton's career, with over 26 million copies sold worldwide. The Unplugged album also managed to nab 6 Grammys, including the Grammy Award for Best Rock Song for Layla. Now, there are many stories as to how MTV Unplugged came to be. One such tale is that it was inspired by Jon Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora's semi-acoustic set at the 1989 MTV Video Music Awards. The crowd loved the simplified versions of Wanted Dead or Alive and Living on a Prayer, and musician Jules Shear used it as an example to pitch a series of acoustic performances to MTV, ostensibly to promote his acoustic album, The Third Party. Another theory credits Pete Townshend's performance at the Amnesty International Secret Policeman's Ball in 1979 as an inspiration, when Townshend swapped his Telecaster for an acoustic guitar during his renditions of Pinball Wizard and Won't Be Fooled Again. This was such a success that at 1981's follow-up event, The Secret Policeman's Other Ball, there were acoustic performances from Sting, Phil Collins, Bob Geldof, and more. The third story states that producers Jim Burns and Bob Small took the idea for MTV Unplugged from the encore at a Bruce Springsteen concert. And in the book I Want My MTV, The Uncensored Story of the Music Video Revolution by Rob Tannenbaum and Craig Marks, Small debunked the idea that Bon Jovi's VMA's performance was an inspiration, saying, quote, "Please do not credit Bon Jovi for creating Unplugged. John Bon Jovi thinks he was the inspiration for it. He wouldn't even do the fucking show until almost 20 years later." Whatever the inspiration, Burns and Small took the Unplugged pitch to HBO, MTV and PBS, all of which said no. But MTV eventually turned around and greenlit a pilot, which was hosted by Jules Shear. Shear went on to host the first season of the show, featuring performances from Elton John, Hall & Oates and Stevie Ray Vaughan, among others. But the role of host was removed from future seasons. MTV Unplugged ran regularly through to the end of the 90s and has popped up sporadically since. The most recent season contained 14 online episodes recorded during the COVID-19 pandemic titled MTV Unplugged at Home. Over the years, there have been many iconic MTV Unplugged appearances, and the song we're linking to today might not be what you'd expect. When Alanis Morissette appeared on MTV Unplugged in 1999, she was touring to promote her album, supposed former Infatuation Junkie, the follow-up to Jagged Little Pill. Both albums contained heavily produced rock songs, which were stripped back with new arrangements for the Unplugged performance. And the most startling transformation was that of You Ought to Know, with the snare drums from the intro replaced by a simple piano line and a building chorus of strings. I've created a new playlist on Spotify called The Chain Music from the Podcast, containing many of the songs that are mentioned throughout each episode. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. And in that playlist, you can listen to and compare the original and unplugged versions of both Layla and You Ought to Know. Next time on The Chain, we'll take a look at the Jagged Little Pill liner notes and find out who was brought in to help make You Ought to Know such a big hit. Until then, you can find The Chain on Twitter and Instagram at The Chain Pod. I'm Britt Aylin pretty much everywhere. And check out When Albums Collide. It's a podcast comparing albums that were released around the same time, one a hit and one a flop. And I had the privilege of joining Judd and Pedro this week to talk about Sheryl Crow and Susanna Hoff's respected self-titled albums, as well as Mum Rock, Mick Fleetwood, and the Gilmore Girls soundtrack. Again, I'll link to Where Albums Collide in the show notes, but you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. My name's Britt Aylin. Thank you for joining me for this episode of The Chain. I'll catch you next time.